58 years ago, I knocked on the door of J. Roland Sandstrom, Patriarch of the Santa Ana, California stake, with a recommend for my bishop to receive a patriarchal blessing. We'd never met, and we would not meet for another 14 years. We met again 15 years later, this time as one of the 12 I blessed him the day before he died. The blessing was delivered by mail to my barracks at an Air Force base where I was stationed. I did not know then, as I know now, that a patriarch has prophetic insight, that his blessing would be more than a guide to me. It has been a shield and a protection. The revelations state that it is the duty of the 12 in all large branches of the church to ordain evangelical ministers as they shall be designated unto them by revelation. The prophet Joseph Smith said, an evangelist is a patriarch, and said, wherever the Church of Christ is established in the earth, there should be a patriarch for the benefit of the posterity of the saints, as it was with Jacob in giving his patriarchal blessing unto his sons. The scriptures speak of three kinds of patriarchs: fathers of families, the prophet leaders of ancient times, and the state patriarch, an ordained office in the Melchizedek priesthood. The father is a patriarch to his family and can and should give father's blessings to his children. Until a few years ago, every state patriarch was called and ordained by a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. When the number of stakes increased, this responsibility was delegated to the state president. Like other offices in the Melchizedek priesthood, elders, high priest, 70s, apostle, the state patriarch is ordained rather than set apart. The state president submits a name to the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Each name is carefully and prayerfully considered. Once approved, the patriarch is sustained in state conference and then ordained. He then, with prophetic insight, will pronounce blessings upon the heads of those who come recommended by the bishop of their ward. There's a publication, Information and Suggestions for Patriarchs. It instructs the state president and the patriarch about this sacred office. The publication was discussed for years by the first presidency and the Quorum of the 12. Each time it was reviewed, it was reduced in size. One senior brother said, "Brethren, we must not get between the Lord and his patriarchs." We now ask each state president and each patriarch to reread this brief document. Read it more than once. Patriarchs do not advertise for blessings. Members should seek blessings as they feel inspired to do so. There's no fixed age at which one may receive a patriarchal blessing. The bishop ensures that the member is of sufficient age and maturity to understand the meaning and significance of the blessing. Patriarchal blessings are recorded and transcribed by one who is assigned by the state president. That blessing becomes a very personal treasure. Except for members of the immediate family, we should not permit others to read our blessings, nor should we ask others to interpret it. Neither the patriarch nor the bishop can or should interpret it. When the 12 called and ordained patriarchs, we shared experiences. We learned the Lord has a special interest in the patriarch who holds a unique position in the church. I recall a conference where the patriarch was very old. While his ordination would remain in force, it was time that he be excused from giving blessing. The state president recommended a man with much leadership experience. However, I did not get the feeling that he should be the patriarch. I knew that the first presidency had said to state presidents, because a man has filled with credit a presiding office and has attained a good age, is no reason why he should or should not make a good patriarch. He should be one who has developed within him the spirit of the patriarchs. In fact, this should be his leading characteristic, a man of wisdom, possessed of the gift and spirit of blessing as well. As the evening meeting was about to begin, an older man came partway down the aisle and, unable to find a seat, went to the back of the chapel. He was not quite as well dressed as most of the others and obviously had spent much time out of doors. I whispered to the stake president, "Who is that man?" Sensing what was on my mind, he said, "Oh, I don't think he could be our patriarch. He lives at the far edge of an outlying ward and has never held any leadership in a bishopric or high council." He was invited to give the opening prayer, and he had said but a few words when that confirmation came, as it does by revelation, "This is the patriarch." As I recall, he had 6 sons and 1 daughter. The youngest was then serving a mission, as had his elder brothers, who had married and scattered about the country, all serving faithfully in the church. "And what about your daughter?" I asked. "Oh," he said, "you've met her. She's the wife of a count in the state presidency." I thought, a patriarch. This man is a patriarch indeed. Before the general session, I met the aging patriarch in the foyer and said, "We're going to give you some help today." He said, "Oh, thank you. I would appreciate that very, very much." I said, "Let me give you the name of the new patriarch. Then you and I and the stake president will be the only ones that know." When I named that man, he was startled. And he said, "Isn't that interesting? I saw him among the people coming into the building and said to myself, wouldn't he make a wonderful patriarch?" It was an inspiring confirmation from the old patriarch. There's nothing like this office in all of the church or in all of the world. Stake presidents must provide very careful, special watch care over the patriarch. You should have him sit on the stand and be recognized. On regular occasions, perhaps twice a year, you should interview the patriarch and read some of his blessings. Remind him that each blessing should be individual and special to the member. The periodic reading of blessings must not be neglected by the stake president. I once ordained a patriarch who was overcome with the responsibility. For months, he could not get himself to give a blessing. Finally, he asked the stake president if he might write a paragraph as a model introduction to any patriarchal blessing. The stake president approved. Later, he told me this. When the first young man came for a blessing, because I had memorized this prepared introduction, I felt comfortable. I laid my hands on his head, and I did not use one word of it. That day, I learned whose blessings they are. They are not my blessings, but are dictated by the Spirit. It has been said that a patriarchal blessing is a paragraph from the book of your possibilities. If we read our patriarchal blessings, we will see what the Spirit of prophecy has held up to us as to what each of us can become. An essential part of a patriarchal blessing is the declaration of lineage. By careful study of the scriptures, a patriarch becomes familiar with the patriarchal order. He learns the destiny of the tribes of Israel. The brethren have taught, in giving a blessing, the patriarch may declare our lineage, that is, that we are of Israel, therefore of the family of Abraham, and of a specific tribe of Jacob. In the great majority of cases, Latter-day Saints are of the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe to which has been committed the leadership of this latter-day work. Whether this lineage is of blood or adoption does not matter. This is very important, for it is through the lineage of Abraham alone that the mighty blessings of the Lord for his children on earth are to be consummated. Then the patriarch, looking into the future, enumerates the blessings and promises, some special, others general, to which the person of a proper lineage is entitled, and through his authority seals them upon him, so that they may be his forever through his faithfulness. Since there are many bloodlines running in each of us, two members of one family might be declared as being in different tribes of Israel. A patriarch may give patriarchal blessings to his own children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren who come recommended by their bishop. When we receive requests for exceptions, for one to receive a blessing from an uncle or some favorite family friend, we invite them to follow the order and receive their blessing from the patriarch in their own state. In mission districts or in states where there's no patriarch, members may receive a recommend from their bishop or branch president to a patriarch in an adjoining state. Occasionally, a member may feel that their blessing is somewhat less than expected, but as time goes on, they will recognize the power of revelation in it. Sometimes someone will worry because a promise made in a patriarchal blessing is not yet fulfilled. For instance, a blessing may indicate that a member will be married and they do not find a companion. That does not mean that the blessing will go unfulfilled. It is well to know that things happen in the Lord's due time, not always in ours. Things of an eternal nature have no boundaries. From the premortal existence to our existence beyond the veils of death, our life is an eternal life. Circumstances such as advancing age or infirmity, moving out of a state or a call to serve a mission, may require that a state president recommend to the quorum of the 12 apostles that a patriarch be honorably excused from active service. President Harold B. Lee told of calling a patriarch. He and the state president had gone to the man's home. He'd been out with his sons on the welfare farm all day and was tired and weary and covered with grime. President Lee said, "I made him more weary when I told him what it was I'd come for." He was to be called as the patriarch to that state. After the morning session of conference, where the man had borne a remarkable testimony, they went to a basement office. The state president's wife was present and wrote to President Lee, "As you walked over to put your hands on his head, I thought to myself, he's a man with whom we socialize. We've gone to trips with him and dances. Now part of his responsibility is to declare the lineage from each one has come and will receive the blessing. He hasn't been a student of ancient languages. How's he going to know? You walked over and put your hands on his head, and a light came from behind you and went right through him, through you and into him. And I thought to myself, isn't that a strange coincidence that the sunlight has come in just at that moment? Then I realized there was no window, no sunlight. I was witnessing the answer to my question. That light came from somewhere beyond Brother Lee and went through Brother Lee into this patriarch. Then I knew where he was going to get the information, by revelations from Almighty God. And so it must be. Whenever a patriarch is ordained or pronounced a blessing, that same light, though it may be unseen, is present. It empowers a patriarch to declare lineage and to give prophetic blessings, notwithstanding that he himself may be a man of very ordinary capacity. Do not let the office of state patriarch be neglected or ignored. It is essential to the spiritual power of a state. and now to state president, watch over the work of your state patriarch. Keep him close to you. Interview him and read selections from his blessings. And speaking to the patriarch, you have been chosen as few other men are chosen. You must live in such a way that through inspired spiritual inspiration, you can give prophetic and inspired blessings. Be an exemplary patriarch in your own family. Live to be worthy of the Spirit and experience the joy of your calling. That patriarch that I had never seen before made a promise that really applies to every one of us. He told me to face toward the sunlight of truth so that the shadow of error, disbelief, doubt, and discouragement shall be cast behind you. Many times I have gained strength from reading that patriarchal blessing given by an inspired servant of the Lord. I bear witness that this is a holy office, a sacred office, a blessing to this church, that it is an example of the blessings that the Lord has established in his church for the blessing of all of us. And I bear testimony of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.